Real Truth Daily. This is Daily Truths with Dave Allman.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As promised, I said today, I'd be providing a little outline for you guys to take notes on. And so I encourage you to go ahead and follow along. You're going to be writing down in these little lines, on lines 2, 3, and 4, the following words: high, low, and high. But don't do that until we get to that point. The first one, you can write these three words: high, low, high, just like it is up on the screen. And you'll find out why we're entitling the message today that very thing. High, you say it, low, and high, right? You think about Palm Sunday and what a day it was. Jesus comes riding triumphantly on a donkey before the people. And the people are raising up palm branches. And as you heard me talk about already, they were saying, "Hail, Hosanna, son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." This was a high day for the Lord Jesus Christ. But during the week, he was rejected, humiliated, scorned, beaten, and finally nailed to the accursed tree of the cross, taking upon himself the wrath of God and our sin in payment for our wrongs, a payment he made to God the Father. That was low. But then, we celebrate it next week. What happened? 3 days later, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Christ is exalted. Christ has defeated death. The tomb is empty. And indeed, eternal life is opened up to all those who repent of their sins and put their trust in Jesus. That's high. So during the week, Holy Week, high, low, high. But in a different sense, St. Paul talks about those same three words in a different respect, capsulizing for us, encompassing for us the very life of Christ, why he came, what he did, and what happened at the end of his earthly life. And so we use those words high, low, high. Let's look at the first three words, or the first word itself. Write this in the second column, the second space there, number 2. Write this down: high. And then it says there up on the screen, those verses that we want to look at regarding verses 5 and 6. Look at what it says there. Have this in mind among you yourselves, which is in Christ Jesus. And then it says this in verse 6, who, though he was in the form of God, let's stop right there. Jesus was in the form of God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent. That's who Jesus was. He was and forever will be God. And he was seated on the throne, way up high, exalted along with the Father and the Spirit, right? And so it says here, have this mind among you, among yourselves, which is in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, look at this, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. In other words, there was a conversation that happened between God the Father and God the Son. It might have gone something like this: Son, I need someone who's perfect and holy and sinless to become a human being, to leave the cushy mansions of his heavenly throne and to go down to earth and become a sinful human being, assuming sin in mankind's behalf. You're exalted. You're here in this holy place. Are you willing to go? Now, Jesus could have said, I'm not willing. I want to stay here. I want to be continually exalted. I don't want to descend from heaven. I don't want to assume that earthly position. I don't want to go identify with those sinful people. I want to stay here. But he did not regard equality with God something to be continually grasped. Are you with me? He said, no, I'm willing to go. I don't have to stay here. So he left heaven and became one of us. So the next word you put in, word number 3, if you will, low, because that's what the verses now look at in verse 7 and 8. That's what they identify. This is what it says in verse 7. He made himself nothing. Now, what does that mean, that Jesus made himself nothing? It means he became human. It means he became a lowly human being. He wasn't born in high estate. He didn't have a lot of money. He wasn't rich. He wasn't successful. He wasn't necessarily right out of the chute famous. He became a human being. Now, Billy Graham has a marvelous story to tell about that. He was walking along the street one day, and he was with his son, and they came upon an anthill as they were walking down the street. It was in a small town, and there was an anthill there. And this boy, his boy, Franklin Graham, who now is like 80 years old, stepped on the anthill. And Billy said, "Oh, son, you probably shouldn't have done that." And all of a sudden, Franklin, who was like 10 years old, felt so badly about what he had done. And he said, "Oh, Daddy, I'm so sorry. I can't believe I did that." And then Billy said, "What would it be like if you became, you're a human being, but you became an ant? And you went down there and you helped them rebuild their homes and heal their afflictions and maybe even raise some people from the dead?" And Franklin said, "Well, I can't do that. Daddy, that's impossible." And then Billy went on to say, "But that's what Jesus did for us. He who was in the glory and splendor of heaven, who is fully God, became fully man and became one of us. And in a sense, compared to his divinity, he became nothing." Got it? Let me say it again. Got it? Got it. Okay. So he himself became nothing, taking the form of a servant. How's that? The Bible says that the Son of Man came not to be served. This is what Jesus said about himself. The Bible says the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. The lowliness, the humility, the rejection, the scorn, the crucifixion of Jesus all demonstrates that he was the ultimate servant, as it talks about in Isaiah chapter 53. So taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness, I love this, in the likeness of men. What's that mean? When Jesus first came to planet Earth and he walked inside a room, do you think people said, "Whoa, there's the Son of God," or, "Man, that dude is handsome"? Do you think they said that? No, the Bible says, according to Isaiah chapter 53, that there was nothing regarding his outward appearance that would draw people unto him. He was a common, everyday looking guy, right? He wasn't like Tom Cruise or Ryan Gosling or any of these stars today who are so, you know, they're macho and all that. Jesus was just a regular guy. And so he came in the likeness of men. He did all the things that people do, eat, drink, sleep, all these different things. And he just looked like anybody else. We're going to get to this here in just a few minutes. But when he comes back, whew, he's going to look a lot different. And you'll find out what everybody is going to say, both believers and non-believers alike, when Jesus Christ comes back. So in his humiliated state, in his lowly state, being born in the likeness of men, and then it says in verse 8, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. The most humiliating, despicable death in Roman country at that time, in Roman society, was crucifixion. There was nothing worse. It was the worst humiliation anyone could ever go through. And as you probably know, they put these people on a cross as execution was taking place on them outside the city walls of Jerusalem, so the Roman government could demonstrate, this is what happens to you if you're a wrongdoer. This is what can happen to you. And both adults and kids saw that almost on a daily basis. Can you imagine? It was the most despicable rejection anyone could go through. But we know why it had to happen. For whatever reason, in the counsel of the heavens of God, God the Father had dispatched Jesus to planet Earth, who became one of us for the purpose of going to the cross. And we know why he went to the cross. It was to die in our place. It was to assume our guilt and shame. It was to take sin and have it placed on him and to take it away through his shed blood on the cross. He indeed is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Experiencing the wrath of God, total separation from the Father, Jesus is suspended between heaven and earth. And the punishment that we deserve because of our sin was meted out on him. This is why he went to the cross, to die in our place, wounded for our sins, taking our wrongs upon himself. Now, I don't know if you've ever had this happen, but have you ever gone out to eat and you see someone there at the restaurant that you haven't seen for a long time and you start to talk and everything and maybe you're talking for 15 or 20 minutes? I've had this happen to us a couple times and you visit and it's just wonderful and you're getting along great. And then all of a sudden they say, here, let me take this. And they take your ticket and they pay for your ticket and you let them? Isn't that cool? You know what Jesus said when he was dying on that cross? Here, Heavenly Father, here, sinful people of the world, let me take this. And through faith in what he's done, we let him. This is why Christ died. This is why he shed his blood. This is why he went to the cross. You see, resolutely from the time Jesus was born until the time he was nailed to that piece of wood on Good Friday, there was one purpose for Jesus in mind, to go to the cross. As a matter of fact, I'm reading through the book of Matthew, as many of you know, in Daily Truths, and Jesus says over and over and over again to his disciples, the Son of Man is going to be handed over to the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and then raised up on the third day. He told them that he was going to go to the cross. He told them that he was going to shed his blood. He told them that he had to be sacrificed for the wrongs of the world, and they still didn't get it until the Holy Spirit came upon them. And now they said, we get it now. We understand now. And they confessed his saving name, and we do the very same thing today. Jesus was highly exalted in heaven, the same glorious position as God the Father. He lowly bent himself down to planet Earth and became one of us for the express purpose of becoming obedient unto death, even death on a, you say it, cross. That's low. That's low. But then St. Paul, by the way, this was an early church hymn, okay? We sang a great hymn just a few minutes ago in Christ Alone. This was an early church hymn. The early church saints, people in the first century, after Christ ascended up into heaven in the first century, they sang this in church together. This beautiful, glorious, powerful passage of St. Paul in Philippians chapter 2. So he talks about, okay, Christ was exalted in the heavens. He came down and became one of us. He assumed our guilt and shame and sin. He died on a cross, became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Now we go back. Here's the fourth word you write in, line 4. High. Why do you write that? It's interesting to me, and I said this to my wife as we were driving here today. It's interesting to me that St. Paul kind of skipped over the resurrection of Jesus. But that resurrection is contained and encompassed in the word exalted. Because we say that Christ's exaltation started when he descended into hell. And by the way, a lot of times people say, why did Christ descend into hell? You know what it was? It was to preach victory. It was to tell Satan that he had lost and the saints of God had won. It was to tell Satan, hand over the keys of hell and death. Hand them over to me. I'm the victor. I'm the conqueror. We win. You lose. How cool is that? And what St. Paul here is talking about is not only the descension of Christ into hell, but the exaltation of Christ through his resurrection. So look at what it says there in verse 9. Therefore, God has highly exalted him. That means he's in charge. He's in charge of your life. I read recently that Americans are more anxiety-ridden in this current day than they ever have been. Back during World War II, interestingly. Oh, and I got to tell you why that is, because so many of us want to be in charge. We want to call the shots in our own life. We want to dictate to God how things go. And when they don't go our way, we feel tremendous angst. As a matter of fact, when you hear the word anxious, you put it together, it's like angst and hush, angst, hush. Is that you? Sometimes that's me. Do you know why? Because I want to assume the throne of God. I want to become one like Jesus. And this is the oldest temptation in the Bible. When Satan appeared to Adam and Eve, what did he tell them? If you eat of the fruit, you'll be like God. In other words, you're going to be in charge. Nothing has changed. We still want to be in charge. And what St. Paul here is telling us is Jesus is exalted to the highest place. He's in charge. He's the king. He's the master of the universe. He's sovereign. And you can fight against him all you want. But he's going to lead and guide you through life no matter what. So why not relax and enjoy the ride? But we don't do that. So during World War II, the most anxious soldiers, obviously, were the soldiers on the ground, interestingly, and 70 to 80% of them came back alive and they were just fine. But the most anxious ridden people during World War II were the soldiers who were on the ground. Why is that? Because they were sitting ducks a lot of times. They'd be walking. They didn't know when the bullets were going to fly. You know, they could run, they could walk, they could hide, but eventually they knew that they were probably going to face battle. And they might die. Even though there was a 30% chance that they might die, the rest came home safe. Do you know who is taking even a greater risk? Those who were in planes. 50% of the pilots that fought during World War II died in battle. But their anxiety level was much lower. Do you know why? Because they were holding the steering wheel. They were in charge. That's kind of the way we are. And what St. Paul is telling us is Christ is exalted. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's the one who's been exalted to this highest state, and he's in charge of your life, and you can trust him. You can lean on him. You can allow him to carry you through life. That's what St. Paul is saying is, you got a mighty king, a victorious warrior, a mighty savior in Jesus Christ. Follow his lead. Allow him to carry you. Let him guide you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And when you fully believe that, when you fully trust that, whew, anxiety leaves. So look at what St. Paul says here. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him. Here, look at this. The name that is above every other name. You think about great names. William Shakespeare, Moses, Elijah, George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, LeBron James. Nikola Jokic, Mickey Mantle, Babe Ruth, Ronald Reagan, whoever it is you want to say, there's no name greater than the name of Jesus. Jesus means Jesus saves. He's the Savior. The word Jesus means Savior. Christ means anointed one, the promised Messiah. He's the Savior. He's anointed one. He's the only one who is who he claimed to be, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, who descended from heaven, who became one of us, who died in our place, who's exalted to the highest place, and he someday is coming back to take his people home. So, high, low, high. God has placed upon him a name that is above every other name. And then notice what it says here, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Is that happening right now, by the way? No. You're probably thinking, when's that going to happen, Pastor Dave? Every knee shall bow and tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. When's that going to happen? Whew, when Christ comes back. When the trumpet sounds. When Christ descends once again. So listen to this. He was in heaven, high. He came down to here, low. He's now in heaven once again, and he's also with us. I understand that, okay? High, low, high. But he's coming back, low, to take us home so that we can, high, go to heaven to be with him. High, low, high, low, high. And that's the end of the story, right? That's where it ends. And it ends good. For all those who trust in Jesus. Now, getting back to this one more time. Well, what about people that aren't believers when Christ comes back? Are they still going to acknowledge that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Absolutely. But by then, it's too late. The time to believe in Christ is now. Because 3/4 of the world doesn't believe in Christ. And if Christ came back today, 3/4 of the world would still acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior, Christ and King, but that would condemn them because they rejected him while they were here on planet Earth. But we don't have to be afraid of that. As a matter of fact, I just did a podcast. How many people are afraid of Judgment Day, thinking about all these sins that God is going to bring up on Judgment Day? Look at what you did. Oh, my goodness. It's like going to so many times when I go to the doctor, I'm afraid. Isn't it frustrating when you go to the doctor and they weigh you? Why do they do that? We all have scales at home. I know what I weigh, right? So the nurse says, okay, and I'm always thinking, please don't weigh me. Please don't. And what do? Dave, okay. Come here, Dave. Okay. Let's get your weight. Do I have to? I always say that. So what do? I take out my keys and I take out my phone, right? And I take out my wallet. And thanks be to God, she never looks at that and says, ooh, boy. And I'm always glad if I have a nurse that's overweight. That makes me feel better, right? Now you're probably thinking, Pastor Dave, what are you talking about? There's not going to be a weight scale of your sin on Judgment Day. You get it? God's not going to look at that weight scale of sin and say, boy, what'd you do that for? How come you carried that out? Or what were you thinking there? He's not going to do that. Isn't that a relief? Isn't that a comfort? Isn't that blessed assurance? This is why we go to church. We need a pep talk like this, and Palm Sunday gives it. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. That means Satan's angels are going to be worshiping Jesus too. In heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so when he comes back, we can say with that glorious hymn by the Gaithers, oh, the King is coming. The King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the King is coming. The King is coming. Praise God. He's coming for me. Hallelujah is right. High, low, high, low, high, forever with Jesus. Amen? And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to Daily Truths with Dave Allman. Pastor Dave Allman is the pastor of Mount Hope Church in Boulder, Colorado. If this ministry is blessing you, please consider supporting us by sharing this channel with a friend. You can also like, comment, subscribe, or leave a review. This helps us tremendously. Come back tomorrow for your next Daily Truth.